Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You read a couple of headlines. Feed right. The people who want just sports, who are coming to us on their lunch break. You're listening to Talk Sports.
Come on in, sports people. I'm going to feed you. You ready? Sports headlines now.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Sacramento Kings owner. His name is Stephen Clark. Nope. No. Whoops, I screwed this one up already.
On 1340 WKGN.
Kings owner Vivek Ranadive did something unconventional. He addressed a depleted crowd, acknowledging the people's right to protest. I'm moving on from this one. Let's.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios.
Putting up our Hops and Hollers poll question today. Your biggest area of concern versus Purdue, three-point defense, turnovers on offense. Where should we go with player confidence level? I don't want to single out Admiral, but I think that's a lot of people's right now. It's like where these guys are at mentally.
Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. I think they're in a good spot mentally. Dr. Dre, who donated $70 million to USC, says his daughter got in on her own. Dre wrote that his daughter, Truly, was accepted to the University of Southern California all on her own Saturday. Given the college admissions scandal that's still making headlines, this was a strange brag. The school literally has a building named after him. My daughter got accepted into USC all on her own. No jail time, Dr. Dre wrote in a since-deleted Instagram post. Presumably, it was deleted because people quickly pointed out a $70 million donation he made to the school with executive Jimmy Iovine. Wasn't he a music guy, Jimmy Iovine, or how do you say it? I always have trouble pronouncing that, in 2013, which funded the Jimmy Iovine and Andre Young Academy for Arts, Technology, and Business and Innovation. Andre Young is Dr. Dre's legal name.
Yeah.
So it's the Jimmy Iovine and Andre Young Academy for Arts, Technology, and the Business of Innovation. That's a school.
I think it's Jimmy Iovine.
Iovine.
Now you've got me.
Iovine. Iovine.
Jimmy Iovine is how the thing they say.
Iovine. What was I saying? Iovine?
Yeah.
Jimmy Iovine?
Yeah, Jimmy Iovine.
He's a music guy, right? He's like a producer.
Yeah, Dr. Dre created Beats by Dre.
Well, he's been around for a long time, though.
Yeah, I mean, haven't we talked about him many times? Didn't I tell you to go watch that HBO documentary?
I don't know.
Didn't we talk about the Defiant ones? Didn't you go and watch that? Am I making that up?
Co-founder of Interscope Records and an American producer.
Yeah, see, he's been around
since the 70s. Everybody. He worked with Fleetwood Mac.
He's worked with
Tom Petty. He basically, like Ben said, he created Interscope Records. So in the mid-90s, he gets the credit for really all the most controversial acts in music. I mean, he had Tupac. He had Marilyn Manson. He had Nine Inch Nails. He had Eminem. Of course, Dr. Dre.
Snoop Dogg.
Like I said, basically all, he was a part of Death Row for, the crossover between Death Row and Interscope, I believe.
It says he basically was the starting of the 1990s gangsta rap controversy.
Yeah. I mean, he had all those guys, and then he also had Marilyn Manson and Nine Inch Nails, who were also weirdos.
He had a thing with Stevie Nicks, too. I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah, see, he worked with John Lennon, Springsteen.
Yeah, I mean, he worked with everybody.
He worked with some big names back in the day.
If you haven't watched it, watch the Defiant ones on HBO, that four-part documentary. It's awesome. You would love it.
Yeah, I probably would. I had heard
about his time where he was dating Stevie Nicks, and they would have to hide her like in his basement or whatever whenever he was working with Tom Petty or something because he didn't want...
Because
he's the one who got her on Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Yeah.
And he didn't want Tom to think that he had only gotten her on there because they were having sex.
And then Tom started having sex with her.
And then they probably passed her around. I don't know how that went.
She was with all the Eagles. I know that. Stevie has said it herself that one of these days she's going to release her memoirs, and it's going to condemn. It's going to. She said she won't do it until certain people are dead, because she just doesn't want to create such a havoc.
Sure,
but yes.
No, you would love the defiant ones though.
Stevie's seen some things.
Funny about Dr. Dre deleting that post though, because yeah, I mean he's right. He's not going to go to jail for that. There was no having to like go in the back channels of, you know, pretending like his daughter was playing a sport. He just went the old-fashioned route of, here's $70 million, so I'm going to buy some favor with the university. And if you give the school $70 million, your kid should get to go. Your kid should get to go to the school.
You think so?
I mean, you think they're turning any Haslams down at UT if they want to go? If, you know, the third generation of Haslams aren't very smart and their test scores aren't high, you don't think they're going to make an exception to get them into school?
I don't know. Probably not.
I think you should be able to. Nepotism's okay a little bit. A little bit. I'm not saying they should get promoted to be like the president of the university, or, you know, I don't think you have to give them straight A's when they get there. I'm not saying that, but getting in the school, yeah, it should be a little bit easier.
I mean, we let some people in for like half tuition just because they're the kid of somebody who works at the school.
Yeah, I mean,
like the registrar. And
I think I got a 25% discount because my stepmom is a teacher. So I think you get like a 25% discount. And don't they already have that on applications now? Like, isn't it easier to get into UT if your parents graduated from UT? Don't they try to help people out who went to school there?
I used to know a guy whose mother she was one of the higher ups. She was like not chancellor or anything like that, but like, I don't know, some kind of, not cashier, treasurer or registrar or whatever. They have all these different words,
yeah,
right? And he went to school for like eight years because he could just afford to change his major all the time. Because he just basically, I don't know if he went for free or if it was just such a discounted rate he could afford to do it, but he went to school for like 8 years. I still don't know if he's graduated. I knew him when I was in college. He may still be there. But, you know, some people get discounts for things like that.
Next headline, please.
Rob Gronkowski has retired.
Yeah, huge story. Gronk out.
Gronk announced his retirement on an Instagram post on Sunday. After 9 seasons with the Patriots, he is putting an end to a career in which he transcended the tight end position and was one of the league's most colorful personalities. I'm not going to read the Instagram post because it's too long.
One of the, you know, that's been a rumor all year that this was the last, you know, Gronk threatened to retire last year when they were going to trade him to Detroit, which made you think that he wasn't long for the league. Came back, won another Super Bowl. Now he's gone.
Will you miss Gronk?
I mean, I really doubt that Gronk is disappearing. Gronk will stay in the spotlight somewhere. He will go and work in entertainment somewhere. I don't know if it'll be a bunch of movies as like the party guy cameo. Like, I don't know what he'll be doing. Maybe he gets a shot in WWE. His best friend is a wrestler there. He's done things with the WWE before. I'd imagine Vince tries to get something done with him. I'd imagine Gronk shows up at WrestleMania.
For what?
To do something. Maybe just as a cameo. Maybe you just start seeing him around. I don't know. But, yeah, Gronk, we're not going to lose Gronk. He'll be there somewhere.
Do you like Gronk?
I don't dislike him. I mean, I think he's really finessed the public into getting to just be a big meathead. And we still like him. So, I mean, I respect that about him. Do you like Gronk?
I'm indifferent.
Okay.
With the playoffs already out of the picture, LeBron James and the Lakers played.
LeBron James. I was looking at a picture of LeBron James as you were saying that. LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James.
And the Lakers played for pride in Sunday's 111-106 win over the Sacramento Kings and to appease the mythical basketball gods. I would never cheat myself, LeBron told Spectrum Sportsnet in his interview after the game. He recorded his 8th triple-double of the season. I know we're out of the playoff race, but if I'm on the court, I'm going to play how I play, and I play to win. I will never cheat the game, LeBron says.
Costly win for the Lakers last night. They could have been tied with the Pelicans for a ninth from the bottom. Only a game ahead slash behind of the Wizards. Two ahead of the Grizzlies and Mavericks as they're trying to better their draft stock. Bad win. Bad win for the Lakers. I appreciate LeBron saying he's not gonna cheat the game, whatever, but the Lakers should have been a little bit smarter.
LeBron then went on to mention mythical figures. He said there's such a thing called game gods, like basketball gods, and they're watching no matter what you're doing. It's our obligation to go out and be a professional, and that's what I'm about, he said. Don't want to upset the basketball gods.
I like to agree with that, and I hope that the basketball gods strike down teams like the New York Knicks and the Phoenix Suns, who have, you know, blatantly tanked all season. I hope that they are not rewarded with the keys to Zion Williamson. I hope my team, the Atlanta Hawks, who have been playing pretty well over the last 2 months, I hope that they are rewarded with Zion.
Would that not be, I know you're a Hawks fan and everything, but would that not be an awful place for Zion to go?
It would be great.
I mean, he could.
What is your beef with the Hawks? Like, Atlanta's a fun city. Atlanta's a fun town. You just came back from there a week ago talking about how much you loved it. If you put Trae Young and Zion Williamson together, that would be a new hotbed. I've called him a sleeping giant. Think of the culture down there. Think of all the rappers. It would be one of the best franchises in the NBA. It'd be fun. There'd be stars out all the time. Nikos is already out there hanging out with Trae Young. Offset and the boys are always there.
I love Atlanta, but Zion could be the future of basketball here. We're talking about the future of the NBA.
Okay, let's look at it
Should
from this,
Should that be coming out of Atlanta?
I mean, look at the top 10 odds right now. What places are you taking ahead of Atlanta? I'll read them to you and you tell me, would you rather him be there or in Atlanta? The Knicks.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. But the way the Knicks are currently construed, the fact that they've never had a rookie sign a second deal with them, do we really trust the Knicks to handle Zion properly?
Not really. But it would be an invigorated Knicks.
Now, if they got Zion and signed some free agents, sure. But I'm just saying, right now, the way the Knicks are set up, do you trust them not to ruin Zion? James Dolan is the worst owner in sports. Do you trust them?
No.
The Phoenix Suns, who have been tanking for 10 years straight, do you trust them with Zion?
I do not want Zion in Phoenix.
Now, we'll say the trio of Ayton, Zion and Booker, that would be fun.
Nobody watches
standpoint.
Things from Phoenix.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, you trusted him with the Cavs?
No.
The Bulls?
Yes. Now that would be great.
Oh, yeah, the Bulls.
That would
they,
be great. The Bulls.
They've really handled things right.
The Bulls need to return to prominence. I think that would be great for the Eastern Division.
The Atlanta Hawks?
Fine. I like it better than the Suns.
Oh, man, if you put Zion with Trae Young, that'd be the most exciting, team in the league.
You're looking at the new age Showtime.
Him and John Collins and Horner, like they got.
How far till we get to the Lakers?
They're 10th. I just told you their win last night kept them in 10th.
Damn.
The Mavericks. You don't want to see him in Dallas, right?
I mean, although
Luka and Luka, Zion, Porzingis.
His name's too normal to go there.
The Grizzlies.
He's not a European guy.
The Grizzlies. You want him to go to Memphis?
No.
The Washington Wizards?
No.
New Orleans?
No.
All right. Then you get to the Lakers. Of course, you're going to say yes to there. So of the top 10 teams, seems like the Hawks are probably the second team you should be rooting for. I think you should root ahead of them against the Bulls. Four. Maybe you want to root against the Knicks ahead of them. But the Hawks are just as good as any of those.
I'd rather see them
like they have a good culture in place.
L.A., New York, or Chicago.
That's fun.
And then, yeah, then sure, the Hawks.
I mean, even after that, the Timberwolves, the Hornets, the Magic, the Kings. Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe the Kings.
Most of those teams are just like, yeah.
I'm just saying, NBA, if you want to fix this, if you want to rig the lottery, you might be tempted to, you know, to rig it for the Knicks. I say rig it for Atlanta. Zion in Atlanta with Trae Young, who, by the way, I don't know if you saw, hit his first game winner of his career on Saturday as he had 32 points and 11 assists.
I was watching the tournament.
I wasn't. I had gotten sick of the tournament. I was like, this is boring. I'm turning it to watch
NBA.
Joel Embiid versus Trae Young, and I got a classic game. I got Trae Young's first career game winner.
I'd rather watch the tournament. You flipped off the tournament to watch regular season NBA.
Hawks versus 76ers. I was glued to my TV. I watched the entire game.
And what did you miss?
Nothing. What happened Saturday night in the tournament? Nothing.
I don't know.
I already told you that no upsets happened, so I checked in a little bit to watch Auburn bomb 53s on Kansas. That's all I missed. I made the right decision, and I'd make it again and again and again and again and again.
Oh, I missed Florida State, Kill Murray State. Oh, God.
You know, the ratings this year were a historic high for the NCAA tournament.
Zion effect.
I don't think it's just Zion.
I think it is. Let's catch a break. We'll come back. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Just ran the Tankathon odds on the draft lottery simulator. It puts up the percentages of where the teams are right now and their percentage of getting the number one pick. One time ran. One time for the Hawks with the number one pick. Ran a second time for Cody McClure, and the Knicks kept it at number one. Or no, Cleveland.
Cleveland
did with Grizzlies at two. I forgot I hit reset.
Yeah.
I mean, the draft lottery is going to be one of the biggest nights of the sports calendar for me this year. And I think it will be for a lot of people in this right now because of Zion. Like, I do think he will make that feel bigger than it actually is. And Ja Morant, you know, came out of the first round, at least, the first round especially, looking like a stud. The second game they played against Florida State, he started off hot, and then he quickly realized, I think, that they were just completely outmatched.
Yeah, Florida State. I mean, Murray State was never going to be able to advance two rounds, but I was happy to see them beat Marquette in the first round.
And Ja Morant put on a show.
He did. He was dominant in that game.
Does it still feel like it's Zion and everybody else in terms of storylines in the tournament right now? Because I don't know if I still feel the same way about that.
Well, who would be – I mean, who else would be even on his – nobody's close to his level.
Is he still head and shoulders like the story, though? Because that Duke team, man, like, they feel – if you're offering me Duke or the field right now, I mean, like, we're all taking the field by far, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they should have lost to UCF.
The fact that you got North Carolina, Gonzaga still out there, I mean, Tennessee, which I personally think those are the three, those would be my three strongest picks. But
yeah, I just don't feel like it's Duke versus the field like it was prior to the first round, right? Because, I mean, Duke was only like a plus 150 favorite, remember? And they, you know, that was the biggest odd since the Kentucky team came in undefeated. And you saw quickly that this Duke team is not undefeated. This Duke team hasn't blown everyone out. They've been in a lot of close games.
Yeah, they're not as good as that Kentucky team was.
They're not. They got a better player, I think, a better college player than that Kentucky team had, because that Kentucky team's best player was Carl Anthony Towns, and I think Zion's better than him.
Right.
But heading into the tournament, you even kind of still thought that it would be Jahlil Okafor as the number one pick. And then quickly Towns passed him in the tournament, and really, in the offseason, once the offseason workout started for the NBA, like, everyone stopped and said, you know what, actually, Carl Anthony Towns is much better than Okafor. And, of course, their careers have played out that way. But so far this year, it's been Zion and then everyone else.
As a team, though, I don't think Duke is – they're certainly not unbeatable.
Oh, no.
I mean, you're very close to losing to a 9 seed. They're going to have trouble from here on out. I think. I don't know. I think they'll beat Virginia Tech just because they'll be so familiar with them and it's a conference team. But after that, I think they'll have plenty of trouble. Like, if they're going to win a national championship after that, they're going to have three really, really hard games against three really good teams.
Yeah.
Michigan State, and then probably Gonzaga and whoever they play for the national title.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't feel like this Duke team is as good as that Kentucky team, right? That
no.
Kentucky team was chasing perfection. That Kentucky team had Devin Booker, who is one of the best young stars in the NBA coming off of the bench. Duke doesn't have that. They have four guys you feel good about. This team had Devin Booker coming off of the bench. A little bit different. Are there any other storylines coming out of this weekend? Like, I mean, I know here in Knoxville, obviously, we're looking at Tennessee, and I do think nationally, one of the bigger storylines is probably Admiral taking himself out of the game, right? I mean, you saw Jay Williams address that. He's one of the – he's ESPN's probably number two when it comes to college basketball. He really might even be their number one. Like, he's like – is he not the main guy, like, on game day? I know he's the guy that they have on, like, Get Up and First Take when they want college basketball analysis. They don't really make Jay Billis do that, but I would say it's Jay Williams and Jay Billis as the top two college basketball guys at ESPN. Is that correct? You feel that way, or is there another guy missing?
Don't forget Bridgestone Bathroom Dick.
Sure. I feel like they don't really run Dick out for much
analysis
anymore.
Right.
They kind of just prop him up for the games, and he'll talk about the tournament every year, but I don't feel like they're having him do the old car wash and give his analysis.
Right. Not the in-depth stuff.
Sure. I mean, I would say Jay Williams is their top two. And he addressed the Admiral thing, so I mean that kind of made it feel like a storyline, right? You have a senior, you have the emotional leader of a team checking himself out, saying, nope, roll with Kyle. That's probably one of the bigger storylines then, in my opinion.
If that's one of the bigger storylines, I guess we just don't have a lot, do we? I mean, LSU not having a coach.
They didn't really talk about that during the broadcast, because I picked Maryland to the Elite Eight, and so I watched a lot of that game. Or I watched the whole thing, I guess I should say.
And they're not really talking about it.
And they didn't really mention it at all. Like, as Maryland's down like 17 points or 15 points, and all of a sudden they go to a zone defense and LSU looks lost, you would think the announcers would be like, yeah, this is really the effect of not having your head coach, who maybe was in line to win SEC Coach of the Year. This is what happens when you don't have him on the sideline. They look completely lost out there. Never really mentioned it.
The Izzo thing with his player.
Oh, God. Like,
that's been one of the biggest storylines.
At least I haven't seen many people doing the whole Rick Barnes shove John Fulkerson thing. Did you see that?
I did.
He shoved him pretty good. Now, he shoved him not out of anger towards John Fulkerson. He shoved him out of anger towards the referee. And John Fulkerson just happened to be a prop.
Keep your hands off players, Rick Barnes. I don't feel like a coach should ever touch their players. Should never physically hurt your players. I mean, I'm surprised that's not going around, honestly.
Oh, look at the hypocrisy. I mean, intent matters. And I'm not saying that because we're a Tennessee show.
I mean, if you just see it and don't know the context, though. I mean, I'm really surprised it hasn't taken off.
I think it was Bleacher Report, maybe? Or maybe Sports Illustrated, I don't know.
It was Bleacher Report.
One of them sent it out and was like, whoa, chill out, coach. Without the context. And it does look worse, but with the context, I don't feel like it's an issue at all.
I mean, the top storylines right now, I would say Zion, Izzo's thing with his player, LSU not having a coach. And then I look at Auburn being so hot. That's got to be a storyline, the way that Bruce has them playing. And then, I don't know, Oregon being the one double-digit seed in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to look at for the updated odds in the regions as to win the championship, Duke's not as far as a runaway anymore. We'll talk about that next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Monday night is bocce night at Ops and Hollers. I still think we need one team. I'm really sad. Really sad that we have scared off the competition so much through our dominance. You win back-to-back titles, and then all of a sudden everyone feels like they don't really have a chance. Hate that it happened. I think there's still one spot left in the Monday Night Bocce League. Tonight is Bocce Night. Looking forward to that. You can join the club at Hops and Hollers. $50 gets you an insulated tumbler and koozie, as well as all-day happy hour on Mondays and Wednesdays throughout the rest of 2019. If my calendar on my palm pilot is correct, today is Monday, which means that you would get happy hour prices today if you were to join the club. Got the Hops and Hollers poll question up, asking how you're feeling. What's your level of concern? What are you worried about as you head into the second weekend of the tournament? The options I put up: three-point defense, turnovers on offense, player confidence level, other. Got 500 votes in so far, and leading the way is turnovers on offense. It almost sunk you in round two.
It sunk you in the SEC championship game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, turnovers. Great point by you. I hadn't even really thought about that. I'd wipe that game from my memory. That is what got you drilled by Auburn, was you couldn't hold on to the basketball.
Yeah, I think everybody remembers all the threes we gave up.
What the hell did we do? Did we do that against Colgate, too? Did we turn the ball over a bunch against them? Because I kind of wiped that game from my memory.
I don't remember the Colgate game. I don't know. What did we do?
Oh, I forgot. I mean, 8 turnovers against Colgate, turnovers weren't a big issue there.
We beat Colgate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we won 77-70.
Okay, good. Yes.
You really took advantage of the McKinney team Drake tickets at, during the Colgate game.
Yeah. Shout out to Travis. Love the McKinney team. Yeah, that one was I didn't want to be in a sober state of mind if we were going to lose to Colgate, in all fairness. So
that's fair to you. At one point, we lost that lead. So
I'm glad we pulled that one out. So what was the turnovers like in that game?
Only 8, so that's not a huge issue. But, yeah, I mean, 2 of your last 3 games, you have really turned the ball over. Because I was surprised to see that was the biggest area of concern.
Well, and you remember the poll question after Auburn. It was like, what is our biggest worry right now? And almost everyone going into the tournament voted for defending the 3, which made sense against Colgate in that first round. But to me, the turnovers are probably a bigger thing right now. That hurt you against Auburn just as much as not defending the 3.
Yeah. No, I mean, it didn't. That's what Rick Barnes said. Rick Barnes said the same. Like, you gave a bunch of turnovers, and Auburn feasts on turnovers. So, they came out and were hitting 3s off of your turnovers, which, obviously compounded the issue. Iowa didn't so much do that as much as they got to the free throw line. Like, Iowa just kept getting to the rim on you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people replying to the tweet saying that really just a lack of killer instinct. Not playing 2 halves of basketball, getting complacent with a lead. It's 2 games that's happened in a row. You had a big lead against Colgate and you got complacent. You had a big lead against Iowa and you got complacent. So all of those are fair concerns. As we're looking kind of at resetting the field after the Sweet 16, or as we get to the Sweet 16, Duke still the favorite at plus 250. Duke still the team you're looking at. At least I'm using these odds off of BetOnline. Guess I should probably use my bookie, but I've never had an account there, so I don't know if I can get access to look at their odds. Maybe we should do theirs, but I'm just using BetOnline's. Duke is plus 250. Still the favorite, but it's gone down, right, since the tournament started. Gonzaga and Virginia both at 5-1. North Carolina at 7-1. Kentucky, Michigan State, 10-1. Tennessee and Michigan at 14-1. So Tennessee has the what? 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. Tied for the 7th best odds to win
just
the tournament.
Hardly any respect at all. I mean, call me crazy, and I know a lot of times I'm negative after these games sometimes, but I came out of yesterday obviously worried that we let that lead slip, but you got to remember that first half. We came out and kicked Iowa's ass.
We did.
I know we relinquished the 25-point lead, and I know that is not a good thing to do in terms of consistency. But I thought, really, for a good bit of time yesterday, we looked like a Final Four team, like you said. I think if we can come out and keep up that intensity and not give up a lead like that against the good teams, I mean, we're going to be in the Final Four. I feel good about it in our bracket.
If you're looking at just the South region, Virginia, this is surprising to me. Although I didn't watch any of the Virginia game, the second round game. They just kind of kept that one at a 10, 12-point distance the whole game, right? As they beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia currently -125 to win the South. Tennessee 3-1. Purdue +350. Oregon +800.
Might as well just win some money, you know? Buy it up with Tennessee or Purdue if you feel that way. Virginia's not going to win the region.
I mean, I would take the field, right? I mean, now granted, the field is basically – that's the bet right here, Virginia -125, so you're getting the field basically at even money, especially Tennessee if you're looking at, you know, just taking all three teams.
And then Oregon wins it. That would throw you off.
Sure.
Oregon won't beat Virginia, will they?
And they could. I mean, I don't think any team left is unbeatable. Like, at this point, we have 16 teams left. How many do you think could cut down the nets?
Out of the 16 that are left?
Out of the 16 teams. Are you still just thinking three or four teams or four or five teams?
I think initially I said Duke, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Kentucky, or Tennessee.
Has that changed, in your opinion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I still like... Because Michigan State can't beat Duke. I don't know why
anyone... I think Michigan State can beat Duke.
I don't know why anyone picked that.
I don't know why you don't think they can. Like, Duke almost lost to UCF.
I mean, I'm exaggerating that a little, I guess. I mean, I know they can.
I mean, I think that'd be a dogfight. Like, I don't think Duke's going to have an easy game the rest of the way.
I think Duke beats Michigan State.
Okay.
Michigan can't win. They can't win at all. As the two. I'm just thinking ones and twos here. I mean, really, it's Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Gonzaga.
You don't think Auburn can win at all?
If Auburn keeps shooting the way they're shooting, Auburn can win at all. Yeah.
I mean, I think so, too.
But the teams that rely on the three ball typically get knocked out, right?
Sure. Like, yeah, you're going to have to – they're going to have to keep shooting threes. Like, the moment they go cold, they're going to lose.
Although they're playing defense well enough, too, really, that –
like, they are, but they're still going to have to shoot three. They're still going to have to, like, just blister people from three.
That motto, though, has always been, you know, the live and die by the three ball. Those teams have always typically gotten knocked out, but they don't always. Like, we've seen Duke win it relying on that. We've seen Villanova win it relying on that. But you got to play defense, too.
Well, the problem
Auburn's
with it
is playing decent defense.
The problem with it is, like, it's a one-game sample size, right? It's not necessarily the NBA where you get – seven games, and you just have to be you can afford to be cold three games. In the NCAA tournament, you can't afford to be cold.
That's true, because you're cold on the wrong night, you're out.
Sure, like if Auburn goes cold, the rest of the tournament they'll be gone, and they might be able to they might stay hot and still lose at North Carolina because North Carolina is really really good.
I don't think Auburn can keep this up to the point that they beat North Carolina and Kentucky.
Sure, and then win two more games.
Right. So I'll eliminate Auburn.
Okay.
Just based on that.
Just statistically, they're going to have to even out a little bit.
I stick by my original. North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Gonzaga, Duke. Which I guess if I'm taking five teams, that's not very bold, is it?
Kentucky definitely needs to get P.J. Washington back.
If they do, though, I mean, I feel pretty good about Kentucky to at least be in that game against North Carolina.
I really feel like Florida State just looks like a really good basketball team.
Florida State was a popular pick to come out of that region.
Now, granted, they played, what, Vermont, and they didn't look good for a lot of that stretch against Vermont. And
right.
Murray State is Murray State, right? I mean, they have one player, and they're just outmatched. And, you know, usually there's just a round one upset, and then those teams go home in round two. Especially in this tournament, that's kind of what happened. So, I mean, maybe Florida State is also getting credit for what they did in the ACC tournament, right, where they went to the championship game, and they knocked off Virginia, and they looked good. You know, they looked good against Duke, right? Because that Duke game was also close.
Right? In the ACC championship game.
Yeah,
they're playing good, and they made it to the Elite Eight last year and brought back a lot of experience. So
right.
It's not like they've never been here before.
33-1 odds. I mean, that feels like
pretty nice, isn't it?
That feels like a decent flyer, because what they get Gonzaga next, though, right?
Yeah.
And Gonzaga has looked like a good team.
Gonzaga is for real.
Yeah, I mean, they look like they should be a one seed.
I questioned them a little after that St. Mary's loss, but, you know, they were getting ready for the dance.
They didn't struggle in their first two games.
Not at all.
Maybe instead of looking at who can win the championship, like, which of these teams are you saying can't get out of this region? Because when I look at these regions, it feels like all 16 of these teams can make the Final Four?
Like, you wouldn't be shocked to see any of them.
And I guess this is a no-brainer. Maybe this isn't some big revelation because, you know, we've said they're all the 1-2s and 3s are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the ones who aren't are Auburn and Oregon, who are playing really, really good right now.
The one that might surprise you a little would be Oregon.
Maybe.
Just because they're a 12 seed.
But, I mean, they're what, 7-point underdogs, 7 to 8 point underdogs against Virginia. But I mean, Virginia doing Virginia things in the tournament, everyone's going to say, oh yeah, Virginia.
Well, Oregon has beaten Wisconsin and UC Irvine.
Sure.
So for Oregon to then beat Virginia and then beat either Tennessee or Purdue, I think it would be a little surprising to see Oregon get to the Final Four.
Sure. And I mean, the Pac-12 is not good. I was going to say it's not great, but that would be an overstatement. They are not good.
Yeah, Oregon's the best team for sure.
But they've played really good the last month of basketball. I really like the only team right now that would surprise me the most, I guess, would be LSU, because they don't have a coach, but I mean, they have the talent.
They do have the talent.
They have the talent.
They paid good money for it.
They paid good money. They got a really good team. They paid a lot for it, and those guys are worth a lot of money. They have the longest odds, in part because they're in Duke's region, but also I think because you're acknowledging the shortcomings of the coaching staff. But LSU is just as talented as almost anybody in the country, like outside of Duke. I feel like this is going to be – I feel like the first two rounds were boring, but this is the tournament I've always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said the upsets are overrated.
This is just good on good.
This is the tournament that I've always wanted. Give me the Blue Bloods. Give me the top-ranked teams. I don't want to see Cinderella get outmatched in the Sweet 16. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a team like Loyola in the Final Four. Nope. Give me Blue Bloods. Give me good basketball teams who are good all year. And let's just have a 16-team tournament of where you can look and say, eh? Seems like everyone has a legitimate shot of advancing. Maybe not winning the whole thing, but getting to the Final Four. No one feels outmatched right now.
I feel like it would improve this thing if starting at the Sweet 16 round, you made it like a three-game series. You know, best 2 out of 3. And then maybe at the Elite Eight, you make it best out of 5.
Well, that seems like way too much basketball.
Yeah, best out of 3. Keep it a best out of 3. I think you could get it done, though.
I'd be okay with best out of 3 at the Final Four, for sure.
Small steps, like college football changes,
yeah.
I guess.
Just best of 3 from the Final Four. Although, like, last year, Michigan versus Loyola, I didn't need 3 of those. No thanks.
No. You would have had 2, yeah.
Sure. I don't need those.
I agree. I mean, I'm glad to see – I like the upsets, but I never expect those teams to really get past the second round.
I mean, the largest spread heading into the Sweet 16 is 8. Virginia's favored by 8 over Oregon, and A, that seems a little high to me, and B, like the rest of them, you got a whole lot of 3, twos, two and a halves, four and a halves.
Is the closest one us and Purdue?
It is. We closest one to a pick 'em at Tennessee minus one. Michigan's minus two against Texas Tech. Kentucky's minus two and a half against Houston.
These should be good basketball games.
Auburn, 4.5 against, 4.5 point underdogs to Carolina. LSU, 6 point dogs to Michigan State. Florida State, 7 point dogs to Gonzaga. And like I said, Virginia Tech, 7.5 to Duke. And then 8, Oregon, Virginia. So you got some really good basketball coming up.
The cream has risen to the top.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the tournament I've always wanted.
Yeah. I'm good with it.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, I want to remind you that my friends at Two Men and a Truck are hiring. If you are looking for a new career path or just a part-time job, Two Men and a Truck provide top-notch training to all team members when they're hired and offer continuous training for career development if you strive to move up in the company. They offer flexible work hours, perfect for students or anyone wanting to make side cash on the weekends. It's just physical labor. Just move. And you get to drive. Their non-CDL driving jobs allow movers to quickly work their way up and learn the role of driving for 2 men in a truck without CDL certification. If that sounds like something that you might be interested in, or if you got a kid getting ready to hit a summer break, either at college or high school, just graduating high school, because you do have to have a high school diploma, 2menintotruck.com. Get them a part-time summer job. Did you see this stuff with Lonzo Ball? Cody?
No, I do not keep up with the balls.
Turns out the Big Baller brand was getting Big Baller scammed. LeVar, maybe not the best businessman in the world after all.
Well, I'm shocked. I, for one, am absolutely stunned to hear that.
Lonzo Ball has severed ties with Alan Foster, friend of LeVar and 16.3% owner of the company. After it was determined and found out that Alan Foster was a criminal and had used access to Lonzo's business and personal finances to enrich himself, about $1.5 million ended up missing. In October, a third party, like kind of financial group that they were using to kind of help keep their finances in line and do taxes and all that, Lifeline Financial Group sent LeVar Ball an email in October with the title $1.5 million missing. And LeVar apparently did not review the email until last week, where they found out that Alan Foster had been scamming.
Had he taken more since then?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they said that Lonzo had kind of, you know, because Lonzo has other people that were helping him, like his personal assistant and his agent, and they had kind of raised some questions about this money before. So apparently Lonzo had already kind of taken him out of, relieved him of his duties of helping him. But it turns out that this guy had a rap sheet. He had done 7 years in prison before meeting LeVar Ball. Like, LeVar had acted like they had been best friends since, like, grade school. They had only met in 2010, and then by like 2014, he had convinced LeVar to start this big company. And it also kind of talked LeVar out of signing deals with Nike and Adidas and Reebok. Said, hey, just own it yourself. This guy did 7 years in prison for mail fraud and 2 counts of money laundering. Defrauded 70 investors of $4 million, and LeVar Ball said, yeah, you can help run. You can help run the Big Baller brand.
Mm-hmm.
Urgent, $1.5 million missing, where it was the headline of the email in October. But LeVar was apparently overseas doing his overseas basketball tour.
Surprised they had that much in there.
I mean, I'm not. Lonzo signed an NBA contract. I mean, I feel bad for Lonzo because it seems like he's the one kind of funding this. And he's 51% owner of the company.
What
has
LeVar done?
LeVar basically just helped get Lonzo scammed, basically.
I mean, it's the same thing people said 2 years ago, the same thing they said 1 year ago. I mean, Lonzo's best move would be just to move clear away from his father, get as far away from him as he can.
Well, this isn't the ending I expected, though. I thought we would have something with LeVar ruining his career or LeVar doing something outrageous.
Maybe LeVar's in on it.
I don't think LeVar's in.
Maybe that's why I didn't review the email.
I don't think LeVar's in on it.
Now, LeVar seems like a pretty self-centered guy.
I feel like the one constant with LeVar, he's a little bit like Cersei Lannister. Not to speak to you in terms you understand. He might be annoying. Choice. He might be a bad person. He might be someone you root against. But it does seem like he has a common theme of really loving his kids.
He loves his kids.
Much like Cersei
That's
Lannister.
That's the one thing you can say about Cersei.
Yeah. Does that change your stance?
She'd do anything for them.
Do you change your stance now? I mean, Cersei's not Robin.
No, because
Tommen and Joffrey.
LeVar is just a big mouth guy. Like, Cersei is at least powerful. And Cersei, you know, she's a powerful character and she stands on her own.
She doesn't stand on her own. She would be nothing.
She stands on her own.
She would be nothing without the Lannister last name. You can't say she's standing. You sound like the magazine people calling Kylie Jenner the first self-made billionaire right now as you're saying Cersei Lannister is standing on her own.
Well, okay.
She would be nothing without the Lannister last name.
She has the Lannister name.
Right.
But she took it to new heights.
No.
Yes, she did.
How did she take it to new heights?
Because she's the most powerful Lannister.
Okay, I guess
she's more powerful than Tywin ever was.
Sure, I guess the Lannister never sat on the Iron Throne. Okay, I will concede that point.
Well, Joffrey, but he was a, spoiler alert, bastard. So
that's not a spoiler alert. I mean, his last name was Baratheon.
Yeah, but people who haven't seen the show, maybe, you know, they don't know the whole thing about
Right, but I'm
Joffrey.
Saying the name Lannister hadn't sat on the Iron Throne. Right?
Tywin never did. No. Lannister never did until Cersei.
Right. So, I mean, I know Joffrey did, but he was technically Joffrey Baratheon.
Tommen was a Baratheon.
Yeah.
So.
And granted, like we said, they are Lannister kids, but they had the last name Baratheon, and that's why they got to sit on the throne.
Right.
So she has finessed her way. She has taken the name to new heights, sure. But LeVar, I mean, is self-made, started his brand. I mean, there's a little of him, you know, having to be big mouth to, you know, to get himself where he's at.
But Cersei does what she says.
Sure.
Cersei will you cross Cersei, you don't come back from it.
Cersei would not have allowed Alan Foster to scam 1.5 million gold shekels.
No, she would have beheaded him.
Yeah. She would
Unlike LeVar Ball.
Although she did let Lady Tyrell get the jump on her.
Spoiler alert. No. Spoiler alert, she got her revenge.
Hour two's over if you don't want the last little Game of Thrones nugget here. But, again, warning you, I don't want to get a sad tweet. Hour two's over if you don't want any more Game of Thrones. I did always find it weird that Cersei, as smart as she's led to believe, like she's a diabolical, like she's a mastermind, how she couldn't really put it together that Lady Tyrell was the one who got Joffrey out the paint. Like, when Jaime set her down, it's like, look, she told me it was her. And she's so surprised, like, no. She's like, if you were her, would you rather your granddaughter marry Joffrey or Tommen? Seems pretty obvious, right, that, like, Joffrey, crazy, Tommen's sweet little boy who was easily,
persuaded.
Yeah, easily persuaded. All Margaery had to do was give him a little kiss and talk to him a little bit, and then all of a sudden he, you know, was eating
He's
out
head
of
over heels.
Sure.
Yeah.
For as smart as Cersei is, doesn't really seem in line with her character for her to be duped so easily.
Do you feel bad for Tommen? He probably had it the worst out of any of these characters.
Yeah, but at the same time, he turned his back on his family. He did.
He was in love.
I know, but he turned his back on his family. He did. If he had just rolled with Jaime was going to take care of the hospital. They were going to, you know, he was going to go and basically put an end to all that.
Cersei didn't need any of that. She took care of it herself.
Right, but I mean, she lost Tommen, who, as we said, she
loves. But she knew she would lose Tommen eventually.
Per the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.